Hello and welcome to the podcast series called Behind the Athlete. My name is Raf Agostino and I have the privilege of working at School Sport Victoria. You might have noticed that we're really excited by the athletes that have come through our Team Vic pathway, the athletes we're calling Team Vic alumni. These athletes have gone on to be elite athletes and even wear the green and gold and represent their country and become an Olympian. We're pretty excited by that. So we knew there were life lessons to be learned by talking to not just the athletes, but the people who are support staff and have played a significant role in these athletes becoming who they are. So enjoy this short podcast series called Behind the Athletes as we dive into the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, as we talk to parents, coaches, teachers, principals, anyone who's had a significant part in these Team Vic alumni athletes becoming elite athletes and Olympians. We're really excited and we hope you get lots of lessons out of this short series. Enjoy.
Did you know? School Sport Victoria offers 650,000 sporting opportunities in 31 different sports. At 10,700 events across the state, every single year. That's a lot of kids playing sport. And for over 25 years, the Victorian School Sports Awards have recognised more than 1,500 students, teachers and volunteers for excellence and outstanding contribution to school sport. Now that's a champion effort.
Hello and welcome to another episode in the podcast Behind the Athlete. And today I'm joined with Max and Lynn. How are you both?
Very good. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you.
That's good. Excellent. Now, just tell us a little bit about yourselves. Just give us a little bit of a background, even though you're both very decorated, very achieved people. Just give us a bit of background to yourselves.
Club coaches at Diamond Valley Athletic Club.
Yep.
And have been on the committee there for many years and very committed to providing a good athletic experience to any people in that area.
Yep. Great. And what about yourself, Lynn?
Well, Max and I have lived in the area for a long time and we've taught at one of the local high schools for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we, although we're retired, we still have spend a little bit of time there. And we've been athletes of sorts and enjoyed competing with the Diamond Valley Athletic Club. And as we've moved out of that competition thing, we're devoting a lot of our time to coaching kids, which is
brilliant.
Great.
Yeah, and you guys, Max, you mentioned you've been part of Diamond Valley Athletic Club for many years, and you certainly have. And you, in my opinion, you've both been incredibly successful committee members and coaches. Where did the love of coaching, before we get into Jared, where did the love of coaching come for both of you? Was it teaching then coaching, or was it kind of hand in hand?
I think it goes with teaching.
Yep.
You learn to get a lot of satisfaction in seeing young people embrace new concepts, skills, and then go forward on their own.
Yep. And would I be right in saying then that, as Lynn mentioned, you kind of retired or retiring from teaching, that you're actually coaching, you're actually doing something that you absolutely love doing?
Lynn?
Oh, yes, definitely. And look, I think as teachers, we probably both really loved what we were doing too. And it's also a love of the subject area that you're involved in that's so important. And I think that follows on from coaching. It's working with young people that are great, but it's also having a love of the actual subject, whether it's middle distance or distance running or whatever, and sharing your knowledge with young people.
Brilliant. Well, we're here to talk about Jared Clifford. And Jared has come through the Team Vic pathway in cross country and track and field, and quite a remarkable young athlete and a young man. And, you know, not just as an athlete, but as a human being, he's an incredible young man. Just
Can you paint a little picture about what Jared is like? Because you guys know him very well. You've coached him for many years. Just maybe give the audience an understanding of who Jared is and what kind of classification he's under.
Jared is a vision impaired athlete. Mm-hmm. His category is T12. Mm-hmm. And you would not appreciate the severity of his vision impairment if you did not understand him fully. Mm-hmm. He is remarkable in his courage and his tenacity in coping with any adversity. In fact, he turns it around the other way. He's got other strengths and he works on that.
Yep.
So I first came across him when he was in year 7. Mm-hmm. Skinny little kid, the heart, big heart. He raced in Adelaide, where he coped with all sorts of adversity there, like a fog hit, but still finished full of running. And the other one was under 23,000 metres at the local high school carnival, where he took on the year 12s.
Right.
And he didn't just take him on, he beat him. He's always had that overachievement.
Brilliant stuff. And that's kind of the is Jared that we know. We had him speak at one of our Victorian School Sport Awards just recently, or not recently, in March. And he just came across quite amazing in the way he, you know, presented himself. You've talked about him being a T12 athlete. He has competed both with, you know, in able body events and also multi-class events or Paralympics. Is that correct?
I think his breakthrough was in the under 25,000 metre. Under 20, 1500 at the Australian Championships, where he took on all comers and won the gold medal.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you know, again, remarkable athlete. So 1500 is his kind of pet event, is that right? Although he does do 5K and 10K as well. Would 1500 be his main game?
It's really hard to say. I think at this stage of his career, yes. But he will move, his skill set will move up to 5000 and even marathon. I believe he's racing the marathon in Tokyo.
Great. Yeah, so that won't be long, and Tokyo starting in today week, so pretty exciting stuff for him to be part of that. I guess, was there a point you said you picked him up at around year 7, and I'm pretty sure that's when he was attending St Helena Secondary College. Was there a point when you knew, where you thought to yourself, man, this kid, he's young, he's skinny, but he's one day, he's going to become a Paralympian, or he's going to represent Australia one day. Was there a time when you realised that?
I don't think we ever didn't think he would do it. He's always had that aspiration. Mm-hmm. And I can remember having dinner at their house and seeing the large whiteboard in his bedroom that had all these goals listed on it, including Rio and Tokyo. And this is from a really young age. Jared's always believed in himself, and he's certainly made it so that all of those around him had that same belief, because he really is pretty awesome.
Well, that sounds amazing that he's so goal-oriented and that, you know, you were connecting with him on that level. I guess what advice would you give to teachers and coaches who may think that they've got, you know, the next Paralympian in their midst, in their classroom or in their squad? What advice would you say to them if they were listening in?
Look, I really think you have to be guided by the athlete. And as young and all as Jared was, it was really still something that came from him with good support around him, and especially Gail, his mum. But I think kids have got to discover that a little bit. I don't believe that you should be pushing them, and I think it's important that they just roll into that and that you support them as much as you can. if you can travel with them, if you can give them extra one-on-one or listen to their dreams and their stories and prepare as well as you can the kinds of programs to help them. But, yeah, I think letting that sort of whole international thing has to just develop from the athlete a little bit in how much they want it, I guess. I don't know if that's making a lot of sense.
It does. It's certainly making sense to me. So kind of what you're saying to summarise is that you think just take care of the kid and let the international stuff kind of evolve. If it evolves, it'll evolve from the very organic looking after the kid. Would you agree, Max, and would you add anything to that?
I would. And one of the things that Jared has done over the years is build a team around him. He gives loyalty. He's enormously loyal to our club, to all his friends and to the community.
Yeah.
And that loyalty comes back to support him.
Yeah.
And in this area, there's such an awareness of Jared and such a sense of support for him. And that comes from him giving that loyalty in the first place. So he really has built a team.
Yeah. And it must be nice. I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth, but I'm sure it'd be nice to the new video that's been created by Nike, Play New, and seeing the Diamond Valley Athletic track in the background there where Jared's running with Tim Logan. It must be nice to see that part just blossom, right?
Of course. He's such a great communicator.
Yeah.
He's built up his reputation with writing, with interviews, video, and now the Nike ad puts the icing on the cake.
Yeah, that's right. And you're exactly right. That I don't know Jared anywhere near as much as you guys. From the Jared I know and the Jared that we see at events and at opportunities when he gives medals out. He's just such a likable young character, and he's, you talked a little bit about his traits, but everyone just falls in love with Jared. He's just such a great young man. I guess you have to deal with parents both as teachers and as coaches. What advice would you give to parents that think, they're giving you their child, their son or daughter? They might be 10 or 12, and they're feeling and they're thinking that they're going to be the next Olympian. What advice would you give to that parent?
Go, Max.
I would offer them, I would suggest to them, support the child, support the young person as much as you can, because you are a vital part of the team. The coach can only do so much, but they've got to work with you as a parent to support the athlete.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's quite clear that Jared enjoys his running. There's no doubt about that. How, as coaches, do you continue to foster the enjoyment factor for athletes? Because fun's very important within competing, right?
Yes. Correct. I think we've got a pretty awesome squad at Diamond Valley, and it's large. And I think that that whole group factor fosters each individual kid really well. Like, we've got some kids who clearly have got bigger plans going on than others, and some are absolute newbies. Some would love to follow in Jared's footsteps, and some are just going to continue to be really good quality Saturday afternoon athletes. But I think having a strong squad where there's friendships forged and there are some social activities for them to get involved in, and a network of people to support each other. If the unthinkable happens and someone gets an injury, they've still got that friendship thing going. So, and I think Max is a bit of a magician with his programs. They're always varied. They're always creative. Yep. And he's always mixing and matching different kids to work with one another. So it's never dull. It's never boring. And we love to see the kids leaving at the end of training with a smile on their face in the same way as when they first arrived.
Yeah.
So,
The challenges can be so varied. Mm. I always remember Jared. Every Wednesday night he'd be down at Lower Eltham Park
Yeah.
Easy run along the Yarra and back. But slowly the team built up around him. And before you knew it, he'd organised, it was in winter, a Tour de France style sections.
Correct.
And so they'd pick a top of the hill or somewhere and they'd race to that to get to the points. Unfortunately, the Wednesday night was meant to be easy, turned out to be the hardest session of the week. But it just shows that with a bit of imagination, you can create so much fun with athletics.
And I think, you know, I've seen firsthand the Lynn used the word magician. I would agree about what you guys have created, but it seems such a really core group of people and they seem so unified. Now, I'm not silly. That must be very hard to build. What have you done to purposely build a group of people that feels like they belong together? What have you done to foster that?
I think the secret's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Be consistent. Be there when they expect you to be there.
Yep.
Support them in every possible way you can.
Yeah.
And share the rewards. Be with them when they compete in a championship. Mm. Be with them, when they've achieved something special, and likewise support them when they need a pat on the back because they're not too happy.
Mm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And then there might be the odd little things that we can throw in, like club dinner nights and the occasional training camp and things like that. But it is, it's very much down to that consistency at training, listening to them. Basically.
Which, I mean, it sounds, like you said, Max, it sounds simple, but to do that year on year, week after week in winter when things aren't going too well, that's amazing that you guys have managed to stay consistent with these athletes. And I guess it really does come down to dedication and hard work on both your part. And I certainly have only ever heard massively positive things that have come from the group. So I think Jared's been a part of a little movement that you've had there where things might not go wrong for Jared. He might sustain an injury of some sort, but he stays encouraged. He stays happy and positive because he's in such a positive group of people. And I think what you've done is remarkable, to be quite frank. What advice would you give to parents to let them know that fun and enjoyment is really important, playing is really important within sport, not just competitive sport, but just the fun and enjoyment of sport?
I think the opposite is scary, where they put too much pressure on the athlete.
Yeah.
And before long, the athlete will always kick back. And if they're not happy in the sport because of that pressure or because of some other factor, they'll drop out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we do see that from time to time. So I don't know, you just warn the parents perhaps that back off a little and let the kid have fun.
Yeah, and further to that, I think it's so important that the kid is empowered and actually owns what they're doing. It's not about their parents owning it, but it's about what the child wants to get out of it. And I think we try and foster some independence in the way the kids think and train.
Which sounds fantastic. So as a coach then, how do you – I'm not a coach, so I'd imagine it would be hard to balance the fine line between – having expectations on the athlete to be their best, but not putting too much pressure on them to break them. Is that a fine balance?
Often you've got to build that self-motivation and the drive that they can see themselves. They've got to take ownership eventually as an athlete so that you support that. And often the biggest job for the coach is to say, just back off a little.
Right.
You're pushing too hard. And
we
do that with quite a few athletes.
So would it be fair to say then that for some athletes, regardless of whether you give them positive or constructive feedback, they already know for themselves where they've gone wrong or what they need to do. And it's really a coach's job just to try and foster encouragement into them.
I would support that for sure. Look, by and large, the athletes arrive at our training with a mindset that they're there to work and achieve the best they can on any given training session. So it makes our job very easy. We're the luckiest people in the world because we share in a passion that they also have. And it's by the end of the night, I've never had so many young people say thank you, shake your hand, as they used to.
Tap elbows.
Yeah.
High five.
Head off, happy as Larry. So that it's whole thing's a pleasure, coaching.
Yeah,
I recommend it to anyone.
And that's very good. Now, how has Jared as an athlete stayed in form during this, you know, difficult lockdown on and off kind of thing that we've had for, it feels like 2 years, I know it's not, but how has he stayed in form during this time?
He has the most remarkable drive.
Yeah.
And he's also well managed by Philo Saunders, so that he's been in good form. Now, last summer, he set a number of world records for his category. Mm. So he's going into the Tokyo Olympics, Paralympics, in great shape. And fingers crossed, he's going to have a really good meet.
Yeah.
But the marathon story is a remarkable one, where he was there to support Rogue, his mate. And he pulled out at about 32K and Philo said, no, Jared, you're really on a good pace. Hop back in. And he did so and finished in a remarkable time that established a new world record for his category.
2:19.
I think I heard some of that story. Would it be right in saying that he was on pace and he, like you said, he stopped and had a break, and that break was something like 30 seconds and then was told to get back in and still broke the world record time, even though he had stopped for that time. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Amazing.
It was his first marathon, but he never, he refers it to it as his accidental marathon. He never planned, to run the marathon. He was only in it to help pace Rogues for some of the distance. And I think it was only meant to be about 25K in actual fact, and he was feeling good and went another 5K or whatever. And that's when he decided, okay, I've done my job, and he decided to walk off. And that's when he was told, no, Jared, you look fantastic. It's all great. Get back in and finish it, which, of course, he did, and the rest is history, and he set a world record. So
that is amazing, amazing story from a young man. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be pretty exciting to watch him competing. Like you said, Max, he's in the marathon, and I'm pretty sure he's in the 5K and the 1500 as well. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Yep, so he's in three events, which, again, I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's one of the very rare times that a Paralympian has competed in three events, track and field. Is that right?
In those events, that's for sure.
Yeah. Because that's always hard to, you know, mentally get yourself ready, physically get yourself ready. 1500 is one thing, but then to add 5K and then a marathon is quite another.
His itinerary, he flies to Tokyo on the 20th. On the 28th, Friday, he runs the 5,000 metres.
Right.
Sorry, on Saturday the 28th.
Yeah.
5,000 metres at 9:30 a.m. over there.
Yep.
Monday the 30th, he's got 1,500 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, he's been 1,500 miles.
Yep.
And the following Sunday, he's got the marathon.
Wow. That is quite a itinerary. Amazing stuff. Now, just a last question for you guys, as putting your teacher's hat on, how do students, parents included, keep the balance between the importance of education and doing what they have to do as elite athletes? How do you keep that balance, I guess?
I would say you've got to be organised with your use of time.
Yep.
And communicate with the people around you. I was lucky enough to teach Bill Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be in year 12 going off for 3 weeks at a time with the competitions.
Yep.
He would communicate with me and ask what he could do.
Right.
So share with teachers and your support team.
Yeah, communication's part and parcel of that, I guess. And I guess you'd say the same thing, Lynn, that it really does come down to communication.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. It's keeping people informed, making sure your school is very aware of what you're doing.
Yep.
And what you need from them in terms of support. And I think what you can do for them too, and it might just be, even if you can't compete at the school sports because it doesn't fit in with what you're going to be doing the following Saturday or whatever,
yep,
you could at least be there and be part of the carnival and be a helper or whatever, and just, yeah, put in around the place as well so that you have got a bit of a profile in your school.
Brilliant.
That might help. Yep.
Well, thank you too for your time. We certainly at School Sport Victoria have enjoyed your support over many years of supporting the cross-country and the track and field athletes, both on and off the track. You've been big advocates for school sport, big advocates for Team Vic, and we really look forward to continuing our work with you both, but whenever school sport gets back up and running. But also congratulations on the humongous effort. Jared is just one of, I'll say this on your behalf, Jared's just one of many athletes that have come through the program, and you're both not self-promoting people that like to pump up your own tyres, but I like to pump up your tyres, and I think you guys do a remarkable job as coaches, as teaching staff, but also just as mentors to these athletes as well. So keep up the great work, you two.
Thanks, Raph.
Thanks, Raph.